All right, I wanted to share with you a scripture. This one comes from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you only fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" And then the devil left him, and suddenly the angels came and waited on him. We are in a 40-day season of preparation for Easter that's called Lent. You know how it's going to end? It's going to end with us celebrating Jesus' resurrection and offering to us the promise of eternal life. But the idea of Lent is that there are things we can do to prepare ourselves to be able to be more open to receive that gift. It's a time to admit to ourselves that our lives can get so busy that we just don't have room for one more thing, kind of like our closet, our front entryway closet. Can't fit anything more in there. And so the theme that I'm suggesting we develop through the season of Lent is give it up. What do you need to give up this Lenten season? The other day I went to the grocery store and I was just going to get a couple things, so I figured I don't need a cart. I figured I'd be able to carry them. So I grabbed some bread and I grabbed some potato chips. You can't live without potato chips, right? And then I needed some peanut butter and some jelly and some grapes. My current favorite snack is frozen grapes. And then I saw, did you realize Peeps are out already? Do you know what Peeps are? These little marshmallow things? Do you see my dilemma here, though? What am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to put something down in order to pick up the Peeps, right? Sometimes we've got to be willing to put something down in order to take something up. So my question for you is, what are you going to put down this Lenten season in order to take up more of God? For many, this is a season to give up, like, chocolate. Some people give up soda pop. Some people that I know are giving up social media, which I know because of the posts that they made on Facebook. And yes, I see the irony in that. Some people fast through the season of Lent. If you're Catholic, many Catholic people give up meat for Lent, which is why if you go over to St. Bridget's, you'll see they're doing fish fries. The idea is not necessarily that these things are morally wrong or even bad for you. The idea is that in giving something up, that sense of longing that we feel, in dealing with that, we become more disciplined and therefore better able to cope with when we have to give up really important things. But I'd like to go a little bit deeper than talking about chocolate and pop. I'd like to suggest that you give up something a little bit more. What are you going to give up this year? Today I'd like to suggest that we start the conversation by suggesting one thing that we'd be good to give up is control. Control. Have you ever tried to determine the outcome of something that's going to happen in the future? I'll admit to you that there are times when I can be something of a control freak. And one of the ways that I tend to do that is by planning. I like to plan things. Dawn and I sat down at the beginning of the year and we started to plan out the year. We put Easter and Christmas on there because we're pretty sure Easter and Christmas are going to happen. Usually I've been doing a mission trip to Nicaragua in November, and so we put the mission trip to Nicaragua on the calendar for November. We've been doing a vacation in August, and so we planned a vacation in August. And February was supposed to be a pretty normal month. Then it was brought to my attention that just like here, there are going to be presidential elections in November. There are also going to be presidential elections in Nicaragua. Only Daniel Ortega is running for president again, and he's already expired his term limits, and so he's going to have to change the Constitution to do it, and so there are likely to be protests. Didn't want to have a mission team down there when there were protests going on, and so we moved the mission trip a month earlier to October. And then we got word from our Middleton, I can say this out loud right now, she's posted on Facebook, that Micah, who's back there with Dawn, is going to be either a big brother or big sister. He's going to be a big brother. He's going to have a little brother or a little sister. And that whoever it is due in late July. Now, Dawn seems to think that it's important for us to be around for that and that children don't always arrive on the date that they're due. So that kind of took our planning for July and August off the table. So now we don't know if we're going to go on vacation. Now, February was supposed to be a pretty calm month. And then you probably heard 2 weeks ago, Dawn got RIFT, reduction in forces, after the day before having gotten the hiring review and the history of her company. All that's to say that now our plans for the year are kind of off the table, and we're living at this point one day at a time. Now, that's not such a bad thing when we're just talking about future plans for calendars, but are there other things that we try to control that can be more dangerous? Like, for example, do you ever try to control other people? Or do you ever try to control God? Sometimes I think we work hard to try to make God into the kind of God that we want God to be instead of letting God be who God is and letting God make of us the people that we are created to be. I think we see that struggle, for example, in the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know the story, they're in the Garden of Eden, life is well. In the middle of the garden, there's a tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it looked really good. How could anything bad, they thought, apparently look so good? They were told that they shouldn't eat it, but they were given free will too, and apparently they got to the point that they decided that they knew better than God what was good for them, and so they ate. So I was thinking about that story, I wondered, do you think it's something that just kind of happened one day, or do you think it was more of a process? I have this suspicion that their eating of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, was more something that they would wander through and they'd pass by it on occasion, and then they'd talk about what it really meant to eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good of evil. And so it was more of a process when they finally decided that they would actually eat. When it was all over, they found themselves naked and vulnerable and ashamed. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt naked and vulnerable and ashamed? Have you ever felt like you're trying to do a pretty good job with your life, but the more control you try to take of yourself, the more you just mess things up? Have you ever found that trying to control things that are not yours to control doesn't work very well? So you might ask yourself, what's the alternative? What's the alternative to control? I'd like to suggest that the alternative is surrender, and that that's a good thing to work toward. Surrender. I think we see Jesus doing that in the story of him being tempted in the wilderness. The tempter came to him and first said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Jesus said, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What's so wrong with having some bread? There will be times when Jesus will create bread out of nothing. He certainly had the power. Remember when there were 5,000 people on the hillside and Jesus had been teaching and they got hungry, and so Jesus took a couple loaves and some fishes and created enough for them to eat and more to go around. And at the Last Supper, he would take bread and he would say, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So what's so wrong with bread? Well, I think one thing that's happening here is Jesus is not hungry because he can't eat. He's hungry because he's chosen to fast. And so to eat bread would have been to use his powers for his own gain instead of helping others, and it would have meant giving up on something that he had already started. There's a temptation for us, isn't it? To give up on things that we've started. I've wondered also in the story of Jesus' temptation is when in that 40 days did the devil come to him? Do you think the devil came to him early on in the 40 days? Or do you think the devil came to him in the middle of the 40 days? Or do you think the devil came to him at the very end? Or do you think it was going on all the way through? And that's, I think, important because a good question for us to ask is, when do you feel the most tempted? Is it when you're starting something out? Are you tempted not to get it started at all? Or is it in the middle? Are you tempted to give up before you're done? Or is it at the very end? I can imagine the devil coming to him and saying, you've made it 39 days. What's one more day going to matter? Who's going to know the difference anyway? I saw a commercial about a woman who went over to visit a friend. I think it was for Southwest Airlines. I don't know if you've seen this commercial. She was over visiting at a friend's house, and she went to use the restroom to fix her hair and her makeup and stuff, and she's in her friend's bathroom, and she suddenly feels this urge of temptation to see what's in the medicine cabinet. Have you ever felt that? So she opens up the medicine cabinet, and she sees bottles and tubes and things and decides to start looking them through. When she takes one pill bottle and puts it back on the shelf, suddenly all the shelves come crashing in. And the tagline at the end of the commercial is, ever feel like getting away? Ah, the consequences of yielding to temptation. Do you ever find yourself tempted to use your gifts for your own benefit instead of to glorify God or to help other people? Sometimes it's better to go without, to give up our need to control and surrender to God. Jesus said it this way, one does not live by bread alone. The second temptation is that the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. He's at the pinnacle of the temple. Throw yourself down. And Jesus said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. There's a temptation, isn't it? To want to be safe and protected. Do you ever feel that? Temptation to be safe and protected. To trust that God will keep us from all harm. But that's not really what God promises, is it? Not that we won't find harm in our lives, but that God will see us through. There is a legend about St. Augustine that I love. It's actually more about his mother than about St. Augustine. That St. Augustine as a child or as a young man was wealthy and rather rambunctious and liked to have a good time. And his mother was really worried that that was going to get him in trouble. And so she prayed desperately that he wouldn't ever do anything that would get him so far from God that he wouldn't be able to find his way back to God. And at one point in his life, he was planning a trip to Italy. And she was desperately afraid that him going to Italy was going to cause him to do something that would keep him so far away from God that he'd never find his way back. And so she prayed that he not go to Italy. But as she was praying that he not go to Italy, he got on a boat and set sail for Italy. And the next thing that she knew, he was in Rome. But when he was in Rome, he ran into this guy by the name of Ambrose, which was a great preacher of the early Christian church. And he fell very captivated by Ambrose's preaching and actually gave his life to Christ and became a Christian in those moments. The point is, sometimes it's better for us not only to not avoid difficult times, but sometimes it's through those difficult times that God is able to bless us. Maybe it's time to give up control and surrender to God, the desire to have things go easy for us. The third temptation. The devil says, all these things I will give to you. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you will only fall down and worship me. And Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Wealth and power are attractive temptations. Think of all the good that Jesus could have done if he was in control of the world. But here Jesus, in his decisions, challenges us to give up the control of wealth and power instead for something greater. In the Old Testament, I like the story of Samson. Do you know his story? He's a strong man, comes up in the time of the judges to be a good ruler. But Delilah tries to find his weak spot. Delilah comes to him and says, where is your weak spot? And Samson says, well, if you bind me with bowstrings that have not dried out, then you'll find my weak point. And she does. And he doesn't become weaker. And then she says to him, what is your weak spot? And he says, if you bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I'll lose. And so she does. You'd think he'd get the point by this point, but he doesn't. She does, and he doesn't lose his strength. Then he says, if you weave my hair into braids and put it up with a pin, then I'll lose my strength. And so she does, but he still doesn't lose his strength. Do you remember the temptation that finally got Samson that he gave into? She said, if you love me, you'll tell me what makes you strong. And that's when he gave in. In other words, he chose love over strength. I think that the story of Samson is in there because he chose love over strength. All right, if you're with me to the point where you'll agree that sometimes we need to give something up in order to take on more of God, and that one of the things that we need to give up is control, then you may be asking yourself, how do I do that? What specifically can I do to give up some control? I'd like to suggest that you consider engaging in the spiritual discipline of Sabbath. Now, you're probably thinking of Sabbath as a day off, a day to take it easy and to relax. But I'd like to suggest that Sabbath is something more. It's carving some time out of our week and giving it to God. I told about a year ago a story about a guy who came to God in prayer with a list of things that he wanted to pray for, that he wanted to offer up to God and to God to bless. And then he put it on the altar. But he heard the voice of God telling him, you're doing it all wrong. I'd rather have you do it this way. Take a blank piece of paper, now put it on the altar, offer that to God, and now let's figure out together what we can make together of your life. That's what I think Sabbath is all about. It's taking ourselves with open hearts and willing spirits and offering them up to God and asking God, what can we do with this life together?